Coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here are your hosts, Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lassiter.
Good morning and welcome to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. And we are presented by Alpha, and we are coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, located right here in the heart of Mobile, Alabama. Good morning, Mark Lassiter.
Good morning.
You hearing everything okay?
Mark, right now, my head a certain way, it's liable to go. I'm not sure. Maybe it's my head.
Oh, Mark, we're getting old. We're just getting old, and it's just something that we're going to have to fight and battle and struggle through. I used to hear Wayne Gardner say, "Dadgummit, I hate getting old, but I sure do love getting up every morning."
I do, too. Getting up's exciting, but after your first two steps, you go, okay, what's hurting now?
Well, yeah.
It's all good, brother. It's all good. Another beautiful day on the Gulf Coast. Going to be hot.
Man.
You know, it's just the way life is on the Gulf Coast.
I'm telling you. Ian, good morning, pal. It's always good to have Ian in here running the show and making sure we do everything we're supposed to do when we're supposed to do it most of the time.
Yes.
So it's good to see our buddy Ian in here. So, you know, Mark, we opened the show this morning. First of all, we got two amazing guests this morning. We're going to talk to Bart Sessions at Alma Bryant, hoping he can turn that thing around, get it going, and make it fluid. This is something that, as you look at that situation at Alma Bryant, and you've said it for years, between you and Rush Probst were the two coaches that were ultra successful there. And it's been a struggle for those folks, and they're great people down in the Bayou. And those kids deserve to have some stability. And I think Bart is the guy to give them that stability. Now, you know, they're doing a lot of things down there to try to bring those communities, you know, to breathe fresh air in them. Mm-hmm. And so I'm excited about that. I'm excited for those folks down there. I got a lot of buddies down there. I mean, they're just good old folks. And, man, when things, a lot better than I do, when things are going good down there, it's really good, and it's a festive occasion on Friday night down in the Bayou.
Absolutely is. You know, I won't ever forget the first home game I coached in down there. I came walking out. The guys were coming out on the field, and I mean there was trucks and cars parked out, cookers, people cooking food and just having a big time, you know, and celebrating, you know, the kickoff of the season and celebrating those kids who are about to go out and play, you know, and families getting together and having a good time. And then they support those kids, you know, support that program. And looking forward to seeing what Bart does down there. I think he's done a great job everywhere he's been. I doubt very seriously that anything will change with him and how he does things. And they'll do a great job.
But it doesn't matter, Coach. It doesn't matter. A lot of times, you and I talked about this on the way over there. Bart can do a great job. He's got some really good coaches with him, and it's those Jimmys and Joes. We say all the time it's about those kids, and it really is. It's about those kids because on Friday night when you turn those lights on at 7 o'clock, all we can do is manage and try to give the best situation, put them in the best situation we can put them in to be successful. But those young people, those are the ones that determine the fate of what their team's going to do, and that's – a lot of people don't realize that it's always it's the coach's fault. Coach here, coach there. What kind of play was that? Well, it's all about execution. When we go back and we watch the film, you know, you may have 10 kids doing the right thing. One guy doesn't do the right thing. And everything's, I use this word, botched. It's
right.
Just botched.
That's right. And, you know, I won't ever forget when I was in high school, my high school coach, John Meadows, and I went to see him. I went to see him one day because I love football. I loved playing football since I was a little bitty kid. I just loved the game.
Yeah.
And when my senior year came to an end, I didn't want it to be over. Yeah. I wanted to keep playing. So I went and talked to Coach, and I'll never forget. I was sitting in his office. I said, "Coach Meadows, I want to play college football, and I'm not getting any offers. but I want to walk on somewhere. And he told me, he said, he said, you know, Mark, because I think, and I can't even talk the way Coach Mettis thought, he had kind of a draw, but he said, Mark, here's the thing. You're 5'4". You're about 145 pounds. You run about a four. He said, the fastest I've ever seen you run is about a 4.7. That's when you were being chased. And he goes, he goes, you got a great big heart. And you'll go out there and you're going to do everything you can. He says, the problem I would have, and I wouldn't be a good coach if I didn't tell you this, there's going to be another guy on the other side who's going to be 6'4", and he's going to be about 245, yeah. And he's going to run a 4.7 40, and he's got a great old big heart just like you do.
Yeah.
And when that collision takes place, he's going to win. And he goes, I don't blame you for wanting to go play football. If you want to go try it, go try it, but I wouldn't be worth my salt. And if I didn't tell you, there's going to be some severe disadvantages for you. If you can find a way to wiggle your way in there, he goes, maybe you can. He goes, you know, I don't know. He goes, you're not a great football player, Mark. You're just not. He was just honest.
Coach, and that's
– you know,
that's,
and I did never yeah. – I never tried it. I never went and did it. And I'm glad that I did. Cause I'm glad I went and talked to Coach, because he was telling me about the Jimmies and the Joes.
Yeah.
That's what he was saying. Yeah. There's sometimes, you know, you go out there and play, some guys just better than you are.
Yeah.
And nothing you can do about it. You know, you just go out there and play as hard as you can.
Well, we were talking about schemes coming in, and – I think both of us having trouble kind of getting our voice clear. We're talking about schemes coming in, and I get tickled. I got a guy in the golf shop told me a couple of weeks ago. He said, Coach, what I love about y'all show is y'all talk football. You talk schematics. You talk coaching stuff. And other people were kind of media people that kind of cover it and do a great job covering it, but your shows, y'all, you and Mark just talk about the schematic things, and that's what we are. But when you talk about schemes, and coaches spend all week after we break down the film and we formulate a plan, and we try to get our players to be in position to make plays against what that other team might be showing us, it's out of your hands. It's out of our hands as coaches. And you know, as we go into this season, volleyball, same thing. And Schilling, she's setting up plays all the time. She's setting up defenses. She's moving people around, getting them where they need to be. It's not just football. It's every game we play. Every competitive game we play in the Alabama High School Athletic Association, coaches try to scheme with the athletes they've got. We were talking about coming over. A lot of times coaches go and visit other places. And we go and visit. For example, I can remember when we were at Northview, we used to go down into Florida to Choctahatchee and places like that. And we didn't have the athletes that they had. And because of that, we couldn't do the same things that they did. Coaches every year have to make adjustments due to the personnel that they have. And that's something that y'all have done amazing at Bayside. It's amazing what y'all have done with those kids.
Well, I appreciate that. And, I give all the credit, you know, to where it goes with Phil Lazenby and his philosophy on how to get things done. And he works his coaches and gets us to play, you know, gets us to coach our guys in what he thinks is going to work, and then he gives you the freedom to go do it.
Yeah.
But you're right. I mean, I've been to places, you know, everywhere, try to learn something.
Yeah.
And sometimes you get – if you can just take one piece of information back with you that's going to help your team, then it's worth it.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, I remember when I was a young coach, was Coach Sav, I went and talked with some people at Alabama about how they did this on offense.
Yeah, that was always the thing.
You know, and I'd go talk to him. I said, Coach Sav, we can do this. And he goes, I don't know if our guys can do that, Mark.
Yeah.
You know, he goes, I like it. And what they're saying is sound, and it's right. Not sure if our guys can do that, like how you do. Sometimes, even I was listening this last couple weeks ago at the conference, some coaches talking about how they organize practice.
Yeah.
Well, we can't do that. They've got coaches everywhere and GAs everywhere,
that's
and
right.
They're doing this and doing that. We got two or three of us out there trying to orchestrate all these young folks, and – And and you know what? You know, it's like David Stapleton always tells me, it's not what we know, it's what they know.
Yeah.
You know, it's what we can teach our kids to know.
That's right.
And that's what you have to do and do the best you can.
Mark, we lost a great one last week in our profession. When you talk about just great people, great football coaches, great human beings, Bobby Bowden is at the top of that mountain.
Yes, he is.
We were going to have Lawrence Dawsey, who played for him and then coached for him. But Lawrence is flying out of College Station today with Jimbo Fisher, and they're going to Coach Bowden's memorial service today. So we'll get Lawrence on here a little bit later on. But we got a great show. We look forward to talking to Bart Sessions at 8:30. And then from 9 to 10, you don't want to miss this. Billy Coleman, and Mark may have to carry us through most of that one, because I'm going to tell you, this guy, he may be the most inspirational guy I've ever been around. Look forward to that. 9 o'clock. Folks in Sylacauga, you don't want to miss that. Right there on 98.3 Fox Sports Central. And we'll be back with more PSR.
Welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. This segment presented by Green & Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now, back to the show.
That would be Becker and Fagan. Yep, you're right. That is Steely Dan. Gosh, I heard a lot of Steely Dan last night. And a lot of Boz Scaggs. Stop it, Mark. Mark, you need to leave studio. That's what you need to do. You just need to walk on out. All right, you know, I got to thinking about what you said about Bryant. You know, Lee Shervanian. I love Lee Shervanian. I get so tickled. He would be so excited on Monday when he was going to Bryant for a football game because all that stuff that y'all cooked. I mean, he said, Rick, it's gumbo and it's gumbo and it's gumbo.
Coach, I'm going to tell you something. The officials would go into the – and they would have all kinds of nice little, you know, food. Yeah. Ed Lathan was fantastic at making folks feel welcome.
Yeah.
And he had stuff for the officials. When Dan Brennan and Jim Cox would come down on TV 44 to do the game of the week, they'd come down to do the game. I mean, those two guys loved coming down there because it was always all kinds of great food for them, you know. They were just grinning and said, well, we're glad to be here tonight, you know, because
there's
going to get all kinds of shrimp, oysters, and crab meat and jambalaya. And anything you can think of would be served up somewhere around there that night. And it was hard for me to coach because all I wanted to do was go get some of that jambalaya. I love that stuff. Anyway, that was some good days. And, man, we're looking forward to talking to Bart Sessions here in a few minutes about his job there at Alma Bryant. That's going to be a lot of fun talking to Bart.
It is going to be a lot of fun. You know, and I know coaches, and I know, Mark, you guys at Bayside, you're talking about, man, you're out there 4 hours in that heat. Ooh. And it just gets really –
yesterday, I think it was 10 o'clock, we just started middle school practice, and it was the heat index was 102. I think that's what our Beth Johnston, our fabulous trainer, told us, just letting us know. And you got to make sure you take care of those kids, and us 62-year-old men need to go over and get a little water as well.
And you're talking about Encore now when you talk about Beth.
Absolutely. I mean, what a wonderful job she does with the kids at base. And she's done it for a long time there.
Yeah.
And, I mean, she's as good as it gets. She's as good as it gets.
You know, folks, we could not have high school sports without those people, the Encore people, the personal trainers that each school has. And we take so much for granted, just the people outside that don't realize that every day those trainers are doing – I mean, they're working – it's unbelievable how much they do. And, I mean, they're they got kids in the, I know Stacy Harrelson at UMS has got kids in that training room every hour of the day, and they're treating them, and they're talking with the doctors, and they're making sure that everything that they do is exactly what that doctor wants to do. And if they cannot get on that practice field, they don't get on it.
No.
They just don't. And, you know, it's not the head coaches that are making those decisions. The head coaches are now – they completely trust those advisors, those medical advisors. That is something – for Mark, I don't know how we did it in the 60s and the 70s.
I don't know about the 60s. I wouldn't do
well,
it.
Well, okay, yeah. In the 80s too. I don't know. I mean,
70s, 80s, yeah, I don't know.
We used to drink water out of – literally. We would – we'd pray for rain. Cheerleaders would have signs on the field. We'd go over and stick our face in those signs and suck the water out of the signs. Salt tablets. Man alive.
I couldn't wait to see Coach pick up the hose pipe.
Good gracious.
Here you go, guys. He gets some water.
It's just I just
it's a little different today. And that's one of the biggest things that I know we do at Bayside is Coach Laz every day. He's got those water cows and we got those big coolers. Ice down full of water and have them at every practice full of water, and those kids can go over there anytime.
Yeah, yeah.
Anytime. And we stop right now. We stop practice and say, hey, let's go. And we go over there with them and make sure they get their water and make sure they stay well hydrated. That's a big deal. And you got to keep your eyes on them in practice. You know, sometimes I notice kids that I'm watching and I get real red-faced, and I don't, you know, I'm a little worried about it. And you need to go get some, especially the bigger boys that are kind of heavy-legged,
yeah,
and are big kids, because they lose a lot of water weight during it's amazing. You don't realize how much you sweat, and especially with all that gear on, I mean, they're really profusely sweating, and it takes a lot of water to get that water back in there. So that's something that's really you have to keep an eye on.
You're talking about the older times. Last night, walk in to eat dinner, and there's Larry Henderson, David Chatwood, Blackie LeBlanc, old guys that played football in the old days. And I looked at Larry Henderson, who, to me, I absolutely think the world of Larry Henderson. Longtime coach at Murphy. And those days, I mean, good gracious alive, I just don't know how they went through. And the coaches, too, now. I'm talking about – you had some pretty big men out there coaching football in those days. Now, ain't no water. You know, you just got to get through it.
Right.
And it's just, boy, so it's a tough time. Unfortunately, we had a young man pass away. And we generally don't talk about negatives on PSR. But Demetri McKee, boy, a fine-looking senior at Robert E. Lee in Montgomery. Big kid. His uncle, as a matter of fact, is a head basketball coach over at Robertsdale, Marshall Davis.
Yep.
This young man is 6'4", 385-pound offensive tackle, started for Robert E. Lee last year, had a heat stroke, and unfortunately, you know, it just breaks our heart to know that we lose a child like that. Kid with so much potential. And according to all reports, the coaches did everything they could do. And it's just – it just didn't work out.
No.
So
– you know, this kind of thing happens –
it does.
And not just in football. It happens in all kinds
construction sites. Yeah, you're right.
It's a big problem, you know, because you go – today I watch guys working in construction, and they've got long-sleeve shirts on to protect from the sun.
Right.
You know, and they've got long sleeve shirts and long pants and hats, and they're out there trying to protect from the sun. And then there's just complete heat exhaustion and heat stroke and heat. You know, it happens. You know, it happens in football. It happens in other sports from time to time, and it's so unfortunate. And I just, you know, it just breaks your heart. You know, to see a young man, this kid. I read the stuff about him.
Right.
Just from what all accounts I can, from what I've read, he's just a delightful young man.
Right.
Pleasure to be around and. Yeah. We just pray for that family. I can't imagine the loss they feel inside that home.
And, Mark, it's all about hydration. And it doesn't start on the day that you go to practice.
No.
You know, and that's something that we got to get to all of our athletes. And coaches do it every day. They're telling guys, I've heard Terry Curtis say it from day one. Steve Savary said it from day one. Harry Wayne Parrish said it from day one. David Cutcliffe preached drink, 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 water, 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 water. And then if you want to mix in some Gatorade, you know, you go 80-20. It used to be 80-20. It may be 90-10 now. But mamas and daddies, your children, if you're in the band, if you're a cheerleader, if you're playing any sport at all, you're doing anything outdoors in the afternoon, start drinking that water right now. Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Drink all the water you can drink. You can't overhydrate. You just can't. I mean, you just can't do it.
That's correct. There's so much more to tell about that. We don't have time right now.
Yeah.
But you got to do it at home. You got to eat right at home.
Absolutely.
You've got to put salt on your food.
Yep.
And you've got to eat meals at every chance you get. When you're supposed to eat and drink and hydrate all the way through, and it'll keep you from having some of these problems that can occur during a practice or even after practice is over.
After it's over.
When you're at home.
Yep, that's exactly right. All right, that's good stuff, Mark. Hey, you're listening to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report, and we are coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, and the Pops Marketplace communication lines are wide open. We'll be right back with Bart Sessions, Alma Bryant High School, on Fox Sports Central Alabama, 98.3 FM.
Welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. The Pops Market communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. Now, back to the show.
Jack and Diane Payne. All right, welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. And, Mark, for years we've talked about Alma Bryant, and we've talked about some stability. If they can just get some stability in there, that is a great place for high school football. And I don't think high school football is what it can be in our area unless Alma Bryant is where it was at one time. And there is nobody better to bring it back than a guy that's been successful. And Bart Sessions was raised in the Alma Bryant community. And if there's anybody that can bring it back, this is a guy that helped Daphne and Prattville win state titles. He coached at Spain. I may be wrong here, but I followed Bart pretty closely. He coached at Spain Park, if I'm not mistaken, and they went to the 7A title game in that doggone tough region, that area where they were playing in Birmingham. Good morning, Bart. How you doing, pal?
Good morning, Rick, man. Thank you guys for having us on this morning.
Well, Bart, I'm just glad you're home. I really am. I mean that. And Mark Laster is too. You know, we want to see Alma Bryant I want to see those kids get some stability. And if there's nobody else, I think, that could do that any better than you do. How's it been? How's everything going? Heck, you got something going on today, don't you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. To answer your question, it's going wonderful. Our kids, man, these kids, they know how to work. They work extremely hard. You know, we're going to be a young football team, but our coaching staff has been here already an hour this morning. We've got an event out here today, our first annual Wing Fest.
Now, Mark just left. Now, you see.
Yep. Mark needs to come on now.
Grab me some wings, baby.
get some wings. But we're also doing some remodeling of our field house, our locker room. Our school administration has been very supportive in helping us try to get this thing the way it should be. You know, I tell people all the time that this facility, if we just do, you know, and I know Mark knows because he was here when the thing was being built and first opened, you know, it's the nicest facility south of Alabaster. Now, yeah. Unfortunately, after Mark got away, there's some guys that kind of let it get in disrepair. And so myself, Mr. Sprinkle, and the rest of our administration, our coaching staff, I mean, we're trying to get it back to what it should be and even better. So there should be some pretty impressive pictures, videos, those kind of things coming out in the next week as we kind of unveil what we've done in there.
You know, Bart, that is a I remember when that thing was being built, and it was first started out there. We went into it in January, and half the building wasn't up yet. It was like 45 degrees outside, and we were working out on one end. But the thing was huge. I mean, it was an enormous building. And those guys down there at in Battery and Grand Bay and all those folks down there came together and worked hard to get that thing built, and it was something to really be proud of. And so, you know, watching you, seeing what you guys are doing down there now, just is just refreshing. I mean, I'm really happy for you, pal.
Well, it's a you know, you're in this community, so obviously I hear and I know, and you know, people. This community, you know, this was not a school-funded facility. This community invested close to $1 million 20 years ago
That's right.
Facility. I mean, today we're talking a $3.5, $4 million facility.
Right.
And it's completely funded by the community. And, you know, if they're going to invest that kind of stuff in it, they want someone in here that's going to take pride in it, that's going to keep it up, that's going to take care of it. And those things, you know, for whatever reason, I mean, maybe flipped a little bit throughout the years. I think that's been a positive thing from our staff, is our administration and our coaching staff has done a really good job of, you know, of kind of taking pride in what we do have here and, you know, and getting it back to what it should be.
You know, Bart, I think one of the things that hopefully you're going to correct is, I know you are. I know you're working on it. But, you know, there were Alma Bryant, and there were kids playing who lived, who moved, or did whatever they did, but played on other teams. And I imagine the first thing you wanted to do is get your players back into your program.
Well, you know, I heard you from me, but not really jokingly said, you know, when someone said, Alma Bryant hadn't won this, hadn't won that. I said, first of all, that's irrelevant. That has nothing to do with this team, and we're going to view it that way. But the second thing is Alma Bryant students have won numerous region championships. They've just been wearing different uniforms.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, none of them have moved. They all still live in this community. They're just playing all over the county. And I, at the end of the day, I don't fault those programs that they're playing for. I'm not taking shots at those guys. It's our own fault. We didn't take care of our own program, and that's kind of what we've done. Is we came in and you know we're blessed. I mean, we have two tremendous middle schools that are exclusively zoned for us. So we've spent a lot of time in those middle schools, getting to know those kids, getting to know those families, sharing our vision for what this can be and should be, you know, and that's kind of shown. I mean, we have 32, I think, ninth graders, 36, 37 sophomores. I mean, those are the numbers the 7A program should have.
Right.
Now, juniors and seniors were probably in the teens. So, you know, so our juniors and seniors are playing elsewhere. But you know, that I think that tide's starting to turn a little bit, and people down here are getting a little excited about football again. We look forward to Friday night for, you know, hopefully a fairly packed stadium. I mean, obviously we're going to have to be distanced and still, you know, mind our protocols, but I think we'll have a very good crowd at the game, and people want to see, you know, these kids play.
You know, Bart, you're blessed in that you got a principal. David Sprinkle, I don't think there could be a better fit. I mean, you are blessed to have David Sprinkle there. And I would imagine that has been a feather in everybody's cap. But what's been the biggest obstacle for you, for Bart Sessions, what's been the biggest obstacle coming in that you've felt like when you put your head on your pillow at night, what is it that concerns you the most?
You know, I, from a competitive standpoint, just our youth. You know, we're going to do some young things because we're such a young team. you know, and you always worry when you have to roll some sophomores and maybe even a freshman or two out there on Friday nights in 7A football, you know they're going to make freshman and sophomore mistakes. You know, now they're very talented freshmen and sophomores, so they're going to make some great plays too. So from that standpoint, just our youth and our depth right now is a little concerning. You know, but probably the biggest thing is just simply the volume of what needs to be done here. I think we've accomplished so many things, but every time I pull on campus, I look to the left and go, man, we need to do that. Look to the right, man, we need to paint that goal. But, you know, there's just so much that we need to do. Fortunately, I've got a great staff these guys are awesome. They get after it every day. They carry a lot of the workload. And so that's been extremely rewarding to see how hard these guys are working.
You know, you open up next Friday night versus BC Rain. That's Lawrence Yelding. And mm-hmm. Coming from a program that you're very familiar with, one that you played a major role in. As you look across that field and you're going to be playing, your kids are going to be lining up against some, I'm talking about, there's not a lot of easy foes on your team with a young team. Is preparation a hard thing for the younger kids for you, or is it something, is the enthusiasm, does that kind of take the place of maybe game experience? See, I just think that you can't replace game experience. So,
well, I agree completely. I mean, you know, I think Coach Yeldon, first of all, I have so much respect for him. And obviously he and I, you know, we coached on the same staff.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Yep.
So there's not going to be a whole lot of secrets as to what we're going to do, what they're going to do. He and I have talked several times. I think he's in a very similar position as us.
Right.
They're a younger football team, so we both know, you know, at times there's going to be some kids make youthful mistakes. Like you said, I mean, I only think our team is going to get better and better and better, and I'm sure his is the same way as they play. You just can't replace being out there in the third quarter and third and three and, you know, and having to get the job done. You can't replace that experience.
You know, the job you've got is you've got to kind of create a new foundation. And, you know, it was there before, and Mark and Rush were fortunate enough to have that foundation, and now you're recreating it. And we're excited for you, boy. I really am. Because you have really done well in places a lot of people didn't think anybody could do well. But we're excited for you, pal. Take care.
Well,
I mean it.
Well, thank y'all so much again, and we're excited to be doing it. Man, hey, we hope that very soon we'll be back to those years, you know, that Rush and Mark and those guys had here. Those kids are still here.
Yep.
And, you know, so we just got to get those kids out there. And really, to be honest with you, it just takes something good happening for us.
That's right.
You know, our kids just need to understand that you know, we're as good as anywhere else. We just have to go out and have that mindset. And I think that's slowly but surely coming around, you know, that confidence.
That's awesome.
That's awesome, bro.
That's awesome, Bart. Take care.
Good
we'll
luck,
stay
pal.
In touch. We'll be
hey,
pulling.
Thank y'all, guys. Appreciate
right, thank
it,
you, buddy.
Take care. Bart Sessions, head football coach at Alma Bryant High School. And they open up with BC Rain next Friday night right there in the Bayou. We'll be back with more Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report, FM Talk 106.5 and Fox Sports Central, Alabama.
Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report is live every Saturday morning beginning at 8. Now back to the show.
Look out behind you. JoJo's got his gun.
back out behind you, Mark.
You know he loves you. I almost fell. I couldn't find my headset. It was on my head. What did we talk about getting old a little while ago?
Bless your heart.
I'm just telling you, man, senility just kicks in. I keep telling everybody at school, I said, man, you have to send me an email, remind me what to do every day. I can't.
That's good.
It is.
It's fun being in here with you, brother. I'm going to tell you right now. You know, you get up and dance. Sometimes you take your shoes off. You pull your shirt off and it gets bad.
No, hey, Coach, I don't. Now, look, folks, I don't ever do that. Don't let Rick kid you. No. I don't want to scar Ian over here.
Oh, boy.
He'd see that sight and it'd be, oh, my gosh, I'm never going back to work again.
Hey, folks, do you need help in your business or your family life with your state or your national government? And, boy, I'm telling you right now, if you watch the news and you're keeping up with the national government right now, you may need some help. And if you do, give our friend Braxton Counts a call at 251-476-9900. He and Jimmy Duncan, and Jimmy Duncan, bless his heart, has been a member of the United States Congress for over 30 years up in Tennessee, and they've teamed up to put you in front of the right people in either Montgomery or Washington, D.C. You know, it's really all about relationships. Doesn't matter if it's football coaching, if you're running a law firm, if you're running any kind of business, it's really all about the relationships. And Braxton and Jimmy, they have those relationships in both Montgomery and Washington, D.C. Give our buddy Braxton Counts a call at 251-476-9900. Tell him Mark Lassiter sent you over there. I can promise you. You call Mark Lassiter's name to Braxton, and I promise you he'll jump. So that's – you didn't know you had that kind of pool, did you?
Yeah,
no. You do. You really do. So that's it's kind of a neat thing, and we appreciate him. You know, our buddy Randy Bergen, if you can catch old Randy tomorrow between 11 and 1 on the Southern Fairways Golf Radio Show, you can join Danny, his podsy, Danny Spivey, and the host, Randy Bergen. Of course, Danny's former University of Alabama golfer, Mark. You should be familiar with him.
Oh,
his brother,
I am.
His brother, Dickie, was the head golf coach there. And
his son's pretty good little golfer.
I'm going to tell you right now,
man,
you got to deal with that one, buddy.
Yes, sir.
You sure
play.
Do.
I love watching him play because he's a grinder. I like watching him play. I just do. He's good. Fine young man and a really good little player.
And, buddy, he works at it.
He does.
He works at it. Like, you got a couple of guys on your golf team now that work at it a pretty good bit, too, Mark.
Them,
so, you,
yeah. It's fun.
Best thing to do, though, is just get in that cart and say, guys, keep it in the fairway. And
you need know, something to drink?
There you go. Good gracious, a lot.
Oh, you were talking earlier about Jimmy's and Joe's.
Yeah
that's all. And golf, that's what it's all about.
That's
you know?
Right. Well. You know, Randy and Danny, they will, they'll talk about every kind of golf that you can imagine. I'm talking about the pro tour, the amateur tour, we call the Gulf Coast Golf Association. And they'll tell you all about those high school kids, too, boy. Danny's all about that, and Randy's is a loyal follower of that, too. But they have a tremendous listener base. They're loyal, and 98% of their partners have been with the show for many years. And they are completely happy with everything that they get from Southern Fairways Golf Radio. So catch our buddies Randy Bergen and his podsy. I still have that podsy thing. That's one of Randy's. Of course, you and him see eye to eye. So, I mean, y'all do. Y'all are right on target with each other.
What'd you have to go and say that for?
Well, because y'all are. I mean, you know it is. Y'all are. Y'all see eye to eye.
It's all right, Randy. We'll stick together, baby. Us short guys got to hang together.
But you want to catch up with those two guys tomorrow between 11 and 1. You're driving home from lunch or you're driving to church. You want to catch up with those guys.
Absolutely. I want to thank Robert Deneef at Blue Water Millworks and Marvin Windows. They have decided to come on with us for another year and support this program. And we appreciate Robert and his organization and what they do there. And thank you for supporting this program. And also my good friend Cecil Christenberry at Old Time Feed has come on with us again for another year. And thank you for supporting us. And I look forward to seeing you sometime today. Cecil, I'm going to come by and see you. I got to get some weed killer. I got some weeds in my flower bed. But thank you guys for supporting us. And also Heart for Athletes is going to be on our show again for this next year. And what they do for athletes in our and for just kids in general, for all over Mobile and Baldwin County. And thank you for all that you do. And Dr. Robichaux, we thank you for everything that you've done for us in this program and for coming on with us. I think it was last week he was on with us and talked with us a little bit about the new Delta variant.
Yep,
and how to try to avoid that and get vaccinated. And regardless of your – I'm not talking politically. Please understand that. I'm just doing what medical advice has been told to me. And I believe that 90% of the folks in the hospital right now are unvaxxed. So it just kind of the numbers kind of tells you that we probably need to get vaccinated if possible. And that's your own choice. You look inside your heart and decide what you believe in and what you need to do. But myself, I went ahead and got vaccinated back in the spring, and I'm glad I did.
You know, we want to welcome a new sponsor, too. Pops Market has jumped on board here with us, and they are really, it's just they've changed their business name. They've been with us now for about the last 11 years. And so Pops Market, they have all of our communication lines, which you can get us at 251-343-0106. You know, we're so excited about what's about to heck, it's about to be football, it's about to be volleyball, it's about to be cross country, it's about to be swimming. And all those student athletes are really working hard. But I'm going to tell you who else is working hard. Those band members are working hard.
Yes, they are.
We don't ever want to forget those band members because they are working 2, 3, 4 hours a day sometimes out in that hot sun and that heat. And we certainly hope that moms and dads will make sure that they get hydrated, just like all those other student athletes. Band and cheerleaders are working just as hard as those guys and girls that are playing the other sports. You know, we want to talk just a little bit before we come to Billy Coleman here at 9 o'clock, and you don't want to miss Billy Coleman. I can promise you, you just don't want to miss him. We really like to deal with leaders, and I want to say a couple of things that Bob Finley had sent me many years ago, and we're going to share those with you even during talking to Billy Coleman, because a leader is a servant. And whosoever would be the chief among you, let him be your servant. You see, the leader sees through the eyes of his followers. We'll be back with more Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report, coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, and we are presented by our good friends at Alpha, and we are coming to you live also from Fox Sports Central, Alabama.
It's time for the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. Here are your hosts, Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lassiter.
All right, welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. You folks at Fox Sports Central Alabama in for a treat. And you know, there are people that leave footprints in the sand. And Scripture teaches us that those foundations that are solid, unlike those that are made of sand, are the foundations that will carry you through life. And Mark, you might as well get ready, because I won't make it through this. I can tell you, this next hour, I won't make it through, because this guy probably made the biggest impression on me as a youngster as any person or any of my friends did growing up. You know, you say you go through life, and if you've got five dear friends that you can count on, you're blessed. Well, I don't see this guy nearly enough, and that's my fault, not his, because he tries. Billy Coleman is a young man who was the president of our senior class at Sylacauga High School. He was a football, a basketball, and a baseball, I'm sorry, and a tennis player. He may be the fiercest competitor I've ever been around, ever. And his life, every day of his life, there has been a ministering part of him that took every step with him. From the first day I knew him, from the days that we would shoot basketball in his yard, in his backyard, until way after dark. Then we'd go in his house, in his basement, and we'd play ping pong, and it was a battle. And he has served, 25 years in education as a coach, as a principal, and as a superintendent. And today he continues to minister. Even in his retirement, he continues to minister to young and old alike. He's never taken a penny for a speaking engagement. Not one penny. Billy Coleman is our legend that we're going to talk about today, but we're going to keep Billy on for the entire hour because he will carry us through the faith segment. And there is no one better. No one better prepared to do that than Billy Coleman. Good morning, Billy.
Rick, I'm going to tell you, you may might not be the only one that can't get through this. I don't deserve those accolades, but thank you. I appreciate it. It's an honor to be on. Thanks.
Well, Billy, we have you on here for a lot of reasons, and we'll talk about them as we go through this hour. And first of all, you outkicked your coverage a long, long, long time ago when when Shireen said yes. I can tell you that.
And well, that you get an amen on that, Rick. That's for sure.
Well, that lady has – I mean, we could have her on here as a legend. I can tell you that.
No, that's for sure. Yes, sir.
Because she has been by Billy's side in every step of the journey. And Billy, let's kind of start this off. Let's talk about Don Roberts. Let's talk about Don Roberts and you guys at Benjamin Russell in Alexander City, where Mark Lassiter, I mean, that's another dear spot to him as well. He wasn't with Don Roberts. He was with our dear friend Steve Savarese, who we love dearly. But talk a little bit about Don Roberts and your relationship with Don Roberts.
Well, that would be an honor, Rick. And Coach Lassiter, it's great to be with you. I thank a lot of you.
Thank you, buddy.
That's great.
Thank you.
Actually, Rick, when I applied, that was my first job. And this is kind of unbelievable. The only reason I probably got that job was because I'm the only coach in the history of coaches that could teach speech. They were looking for a speech teacher. So I think that's God definitely at work in my life. But I got that job. I taught six periods of a speech, and guess what? My off period was my sports period.
That's right.
Coach Lassiter and Rick, you both know that was no off period, that's for sure. But I loved every second of it. Don Roberts was the head coach, and I was fortunate enough and was crazy enough to become defensive coordinator my first year. Probably not a great move by Don, but the enthusiasm part was there. I'm not sure the knowledge was, but Don and I became the best of friends. Shireen and I were the godparents of his children, so that tells you something.
Yeah.
Don was a great Christian man. He was a great guy. I learned from a coaching standpoint, this is what I learned from him. He let me coach. I got to coach the defense. I mean, when he got through on offense, I coached the defense. And I learned that early on, that let your assistant coaches coach and try to help them improve, and he certainly did that. You know, Don passed away about 3 years ago,
three years ago.
I got to actually speak at his funeral service. But a great Christian guy that always kept his priorities straight. He loved to win. He was a competitor, but he put God first in everything that he did, and his family's a testimony to that. And as long as I live on this earth, I pray that I will be a testimony to the great guy that Don was.
Well, Billy, I can tell you this. You are I use the word conduit a lot. And when we pray each Saturday morning here, we pray specifically to allow us to be a very small part of doing something positive and building children and coaches and players and officials up. And
yes, sir.
I saw that in you when we were 15, 16, 17 years old. Real quick, I want you to talk real briefly about high school, about Tom Calvin.
Boy, Rick, how long is this? 4 or 5 hours?
Well, we got about 2 minutes in this segment, but we're going to start with that.
Well, you know, Coach Calvin and you too, Rick, I mean, we were blessed to have him in two sports. Yeah. We were one of the few pairs that got to do that. I was a very average football player, maybe below average. The only thing I could possibly bring to the team probably was I could run. But Coach Calvin taught me, and he taught you this is what a man looks like. This is what taking responsibility for your actions. This is what hard work is. I remember some of those practices where we watched our offensive linemen get down and drink out of a mud hole. I remember what cotton mouth really is. I've never been really hungry, but I can tell you one thing. Rick Cleveland and I know what it is to be thirsty. That's for sure. You didn't get water breaks much in those days.
No, not back in those days.
Coach Calvin, Shereen will tell you I'm scared of heights. I hate heights. So one day I walked out there during the summer, and Coach has got a rope tied about 50 feet up on our stadium to the side rail, and he looks at me and says, and as only Coach Calvin could say, he said, Bill, I got something I want you to do for me. Well, here's what we always said, whatever you say, Coach. You know, if Coach Calvin was here now and told me to run through a brick wall, yeah, I'd get knocked out trying to do it. Yeah. I got on that rope. I walked up the side of that stadium. I touched the top. I came back down. I went into the dressing room and died. That's the influence that Tom Calvin had on both of us, Rick.
Yeah.
And you and I had that was one of our great blessings. I remember the time, Rick, in the ninth grade dressing room in basketball, when you told Coach Calvin that you didn't think we ought to press. And for a few minutes, God, you and I weren't friends anymore. Away from you, because I knew the tidal wave that was coming, and I just didn't want to get caught up in it.
Why do y'all always tell that story?
I mean, Billy, thank you for telling me that. I've always thought Rick was a little bit of a rebel, and he never owns up to anything like that. I appreciate that so much.
Coach, I'm going to make sure I heard you right. Did you say he was a little bit of a rebel?
Yes.
Is that what you said?
Just a little.
Okay. This is
Rick Cleveland and I have seen it all. We've been through it all. I love him to death. But we love competing against each other. But, Rick, I think you'll agree, we love more competing with each other.
That's the truth. That's exactly right, Billy. Well, we're going to take a break here, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes. But as we move forward, we're going to talk a little bit more about Sylacauga, because there's some other people that played a major role in our lives, and some people that I know can share some things that our listeners, especially those at Fox Sports Central 98.3 in Sylacauga, would love to hear. We'll be back with Billy Coleman.
Welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. Call or text the Prep Sports Report at 251-343-0106 on the Pops Market communication lines. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. We're coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, located right here in the heart of Mobile, Alabama, which, by the way, for you folks in New York City that listen right there to Doubletree, this is the home of Mardi Gras, which we don't participate in, but it is the home. And man, we're tickled pink to have Billy Coleman on. Now, you know, Billy, there's a coach who coached here in the Mobile area named Billy Coleman, who just recently passed away. I just got a text and said, Coach, I played for Billy Coleman. It was a different Billy Coleman, but he did the same thing in my life. And he said, I saw your video online. He did the same thing in our life that your friend Billy Coleman has done in so many other lives. So and he said, I'm going to get the book. I said, well, you're not going to put it down. We're going to talk about that a little bit later on. But, Billy, as we talk about Sylacauga, I was telling Mark the story off air about the time you're running down the field about to score a touchdown and you get a cramp? Or did you pull your hamstring?
You were talking about that, huh?
I was. But, I mean, I had to do that because you had to tell the Coach Calvin story where I got obliterated. So, but you were. Enough. There was an amazing hole over there. Bain and Pope and that other guy made a huge – you could run through – I mean, it was – nothing but green grass. And there goes number 49 down the sidelines, and all of a sudden he goes to one leg. I mean, it's just Hopalong Cassidy. I mean.
You're right, Rick. Yeah. You know what? I still have a little bit of problem with cramps.
Bless your heart.
But I used to get them bad. And, you know, Coach Calvin, as great as a guy as he was, we'd have pregame meal. He'd cover my whole meal with salt and give me 14 tablets to take. Well, of course, now we know that what that does, dehydrates the body. So, I mean, I had that going for me, but I also got cramps naturally, and I still do.
I'll never forget that. I thought Doug Pope was going to – I just – Pope fell down. He just fell down. It's almost like when Larry Goldberg comes into the huddle and talks about the grasshoppers listening to the play call. Lord have mercy.
Okay, hey, we've got some stories now.
Yeah, we do.
All right. Hey, Billy.
Hey, Mark.
Yes.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you a question.
Go ahead. You first. Go
All
ahead.
Right, buddy. I'm sorry. I wanted to ask you a question. As you look back through these – one thing I love about this segment is we get to talk about things that you've done. But I also like to ask, what is the most rewarding things you can think of about, I don't care, it could be an overall thing or an overall or individual moment, rewarding parts about teaching and coaching for you?
Ooh. Well, of course, you know this, Mark, there can't be just one, for sure.
Right.
But, you know, my favorite guy to coach was the guy, and I speak about this a lot, the guy that sat on the bench but cheered for the guy playing his position.
Yeah.
The guy that didn't have the ability as the rest of the guys on the team but was committed and he put the team first. To see a young man evolve and learn this great lesson in life that sports teaches us, and that is it's not about me. I know that's not a popular message today, and you don't hear it much, but true team sports is about putting yourself and producing a young man that does that same thing in his life. And there's a lot of examples of that. You know, I could share a lot of stories about winning a game with 5 seconds to go or winning a big game. You know, absolutely that's rewarding. But the biggest reward to me is when a young man gets it, when he gets this concept of being a team player, when he exemplifies his faith in the things that he does. And a lot of times it's not those guys out there on the field that's doing it. It's the guys that's on the sideline supporting those guys. I mean, they're not quitting. They're not getting mad and transferring. They want to be part of that team and support that team. And if that means they sit on the sideline and get told at school you never get to play and their daddy tells them, son, why don't you just quit, but they keep on doing it, I'd say that's my greatest reward to see that.
We're talking to Billy Coleman, a retired football coach, principal, superintendent, minister. And Billy, you growing up in Sylacauga, you had an amazing foundation from your dad, your mom and dad. Your dad was a State Farm agent. Your mom was a teacher at Sylacauga High School. And just two amazing people. Just two of the kindest, most humble. I mean, I can imagine Billy's mom and daddy would say, Billy, why do you play with Rick Cleveland and John Blackman?
I would ask that same question.
But
okay, Ricky. Hey, Rick, it's my turn.
Yeah, it is.
So Daddy walks out one day, and the screen's knocked out of the door. It goes out to where we usually play. My mom's kind of getting a little ticked off because it's been there for a month. She looks at my dad and says, when are you going to fix that screen back? And my dad says, when Ricky Cleveland graduates. Because Cleveland, you know, my job was to keep Ricky Cleveland and John Blackman from killing each other. And they would get to throwing balls, depending on who was losing. And they would bust out the screens and the doors down there at our house. So that's where that story comes from. So, Rick, you're up next, buddy.
That's a good one.
Boy, I'm not going to tell anymore. I can promise, Mr. Coleman, bless his heart. Oh, he was such, he's such a sweet, sweet man and a sweet spirit. And your mother was the salt of the earth. I'm just telling you. Billy, so you leave Alexander City, go to West Point, become the head coach at West Point, and you have a guy coming and wants to be. Was it Thayer that he wanted to be an assistant for you, right?
Who is that now?
Was it Coach Calvin? Did he not come with you, or was it at
somewhere? Oh yeah, that's right. Well, he came to help us. He came out on the practice field and do what he did. And he became a part. I think Miss Calvin felt like that he was probably getting a little bit. How can Coach Calvin do that and not get into it, right? And that she was a little concerned. He did, yes, but he did do that for a year. He certainly did. And it was, oh man, that was a blessing. Of course, he tried to send in a couple of plays with me that year. Coach Calvin having him, yes, sir, that was a real honor. And when he got to Austin High School, and I was at Dora at that time, I actually had the opportunity to go be the offensive coordinator for him at Austin. And I had already made my mind up. I had already done it. Nobody knows this. I guess they do now. But,
that's okay.
I'd already made up my mind. I called a meeting to meet with my players. I walked out, looked those Dora players in the eyes, and as I was thinking about telling them, I couldn't do it. And I felt led at that time to say, I did something else. You know, coaches can always come up with an agenda for a meeting. So I did that, and then I called Coach back, and with tears, I mean, I was really emotional, and I told Coach, I said, Coach, I just can't do it. I can't leave these kids. It was only my second year there, and I just felt like they were counting on me too much. So there's another Coach Calvin story, but it worked out. I mean, it was meant to be. There's no doubt in my mind. You know?
Well, and, of course, you went on to become the superintendent of the, I want to say, Coleman County Schools, and I never thought you'd be a politician, Billy. I mean, I just never thought that would happen, but that had to be something that was – a huge, huge – of course, you went through a fire as principal at West Point High School, and that was a tough time too, and you led some people through. We've got a break, but I want to mention – I want you to talk just a little bit about your family. You've got two amazing boys, and one of them has followed in your footsteps, but you've also got a young man by the name of Tim Garner that you and Shireen played a major role in that young man's life. Want to share
I'd love
that.
To talk about it.
Yeah, look forward to that. We'll be back with Billy Coleman right here on Charleston Gas Lantern's Prep Sports Report on Fox Sports Central Alabama and FM Talk 106.5 and streaming worldwide on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lantern's Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha Insurance. Here are your hosts, Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lassiter.
That's good to let Billy hear a little bit of Boss Skaggs. I can tell you that. I can promise you that. You know, I got to say good morning and hello to our buddies out at Quail Creek. Bobby Hall and all the guys at Quail Creek teed it off at 8 o'clock this morning in the bullpen. And, of course, we don't ever get to play in that because we're working. We're here, and all you guys are out there chasing birdies and making a lot of bogeys. I can promise you that. So, great group of guys, and you just know that we appreciate you guys at Quail Creek listening to us. Listen, we got a good buddy, Chris Garris at Premier Collision. And Chris owns a local auto body repair shop. And right here in Mobile. And for all of your auto body collision repairs, trust the experts at Premier Collision, your auto repair specialist. Premier Collision, 1177 Sledge Drive, Mobile, Alabama. Give our friend Chris Garris a call at 251-478-4500. Good quality parts, professional staff, and I promise you this, they're the best prices in town. We're talking to Billy Coleman. Billy Coleman's a retired football coach, teacher, principal, superintendent, but let me tell you what, husband, father, most important relationship in his life is his personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Always has been, since day one, and even that day we were walking down that slippery slope of a road going fishing, and he was drinking some drink that I didn't want. And I was about to die of thirst, and I think I poured it out. I don't even remember what it was. It was, what was it, Billy? What did I pour?
I don't know, Rick. I got stung by so many wasps that day, I couldn't say what. You remember that?
Yeah, I do. But we got to move forward, Billy, because there's so much going on. I want to talk. I'm not gonna let you ever come back on here and tell stories about me.
Mark Lassiter, that might be good.
You know, there's some people that made an unbelievable trademark in our lives. And as I watched the video the other day, and Billy has just released the book called To Live. And John Mann, I see John Mann on there, and he's sharing some things about Billy. And that brings back a lot of memories. Share a little bit about John Mann, Pastor John Mann.
Well, I think anybody's pastor, you know, when you're in high school, certainly has the opportunity to make a big difference in my life. And John Mann was that for all of us. As you well know, he was our chaplain. He gave us our devotionals, but he was also my pastor. And I've been able, you know, he lives down here close to Ellick City.
Yeah.
And we're able to kind of maintain a relationship. I'm not very good at that. Rick was wrong earlier when he said it was all his fault. It's as much or more my fault that we don't get to talk as much. But John Mann is close enough. I've spoken for him before and stuff like that. So John Mann my father, Tom Calvin, and John Mann.
Yeah.
I can't even describe the difference both three have made in my life.
Yeah. Well, and Billy, you have obviously – you've never just worked one job, Billy. You have ministered everywhere you have been. You've either served a church or evangelized. And, I mean, Shireen, she raised two amazing boys, and then you guys – Tim Garner comes into your life. Share just a little bit about Tim.
Well, Tim Garner was a student at West Point High School. He's same age as Ryan, my son. He's an architect in Sylacauga. And my other son, Wesley, is the tennis pro in Sylacauga. And I can't describe Tim's situation. Suffice to say, it was really bad, about as bad as you could imagine. He ends up living with us and becomes really part of our family. Tim now has a fantastic wife. They have a son and have three children in their family. They come to everything. I mean, they're just like Wesley and Ryan. We have Christmas, Thanksgiving together. He got his degree to teach, and is taught, and Tim Garner is a deacon in his church. It's just, it's a great success story for somebody that's had to work and earn everything that they've gotten. And we love Tim just like we do Wesley and Ryan, and our family couldn't be more blessed than to have those three guys and their families with us. Four grandchildren that tell me what to do, and it's just great.
Now, Shireen retired, was a principal. She was principal at West Point Elementary for a long time.
She was.
Yeah.
She was. And, that's right.
And so you guys.
And for the record, I did not hire Shireen. She was already a principal when I became superintendent, and I'm not a politician, believe it or not.
Well.
But I was blessed to be superintendent, and there was, we ain't got time to talk about it, but there was a God reason that that happened, that we got challenged to be it. I think you probably know what I'm talking about.
I do. I understand.
But anyway, love Tim, that's for sure.
Well, doesn't surprise those of us that know you, not at all. You have just released your second book, and I'm sure you got two or three more that could be released, but you just probably hadn't put them in print yet. But or you may have. Talk just a little bit about Called to Live, and
Called to Live. You were sharing a lot of different things that I've been in, You know, teaching, coaching, principal, superintendent, all these different things. But one thing is consistent in a Christian's life, regardless of where we are or what we do, is our personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's it. That's everything to me. I'm a sinner. I've had to ask forgiveness for sins just like everybody else. But I've always had Christ close in my heart. And so I don't really get into occupational callings. Wherever I am, that becomes the ministry. So not everybody in this country sees it that way. We have to kind of make sure that we respect, you know, the rights of other people, and I've always tried to do that. But nobody can tell us how to live our life. I mean, hey, we can act like a Christian, right?
Yeah.
So that's really what Call to Live is about. It's about wherever you are, whatever you do, with Christ in your life. You used the word conduit earlier. The book uses the word bridge. Same thing.
Yep.
We connect with other people so that Christ can go from our heart to theirs. And for many times, it's the way we live our life. When the chips are on the table, when the going gets tough, when you're getting your butt kicked in a football game, how are you going to act then? In every situation, are we living that moment for Christ? That's what the book's about.
And I am sure, and I just can't wait. It should be on my doorsteps on Tuesday. And
are you awful nice?
I can't. Well, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. I'm a sinner just like you, Billy, saved by the blood of Jesus. And
right, that's right.
And, you know, through athletics, we have learned how to handle some tough situations that we face in life. But what you have been able to do is you've been able to be that bridge for lots and lots of people. Had a guy at Lake Martin. Rick Morris and I were at Lake Martin and was sitting at, who's our guy that's got the restaurant there, from Herb Winches?
Herb, yes.
Herb's got a restaurant on Lake Martin. I don't know if you've been there, Billy, but you and Sheree.
I have, yes, sir.
Well,
I
we
have.
Were sitting there, and a guy, we were sitting there talking and said, you guys from Sylacauga, I can hear y'all's loud mouths talking about it, and we're proud of it. He said, I just heard a while back a guy from Sylacauga that spoke at what is the church there? The right there.
Worship on the Water.
Worship on the Water. And
right.
Said that it changed my life. It actually changed my life. It's like what Eddie Varnador had to share on our video. Billy, it has to be something that I can imagine your date, your calendar. Do you ever have a week where it's just you and Shireen, or maybe you and Ryan and Wes and Shireen, or
we certainly have we have those moments. We do not as many as we probably wish we could have sometimes, but that's what Christ, you know, he calls us to do. We have a ministry here in Ellic City called Legacy Builders. It's a men's Bible study.
Right.
Tuesdays at 6:15 and 12, a group of men come in, and we talk and share. Shireen's the cook. She has a regular militia surrounding her that would kill me if I did anything. Anything to her. They love her cooking. But, yeah, I mean, we do that. And it's just a privilege and an honor. And you know, Jesus is the one that builds the bridge, not us.
Well, but you're exactly right. But at the same time, the conduit. You are that. You're the person that he uses to lay the mortar down. And that's
well. I hope. Well, I appreciate it.
Well, now our buddies Brett Pritchard and Randy Lee. Do you ever see those guys around LX City?
I see them a lot. They're friends of mine. In fact, Randy Lee's group is the one that made that video that promotes the book.
Yeah.
You know. And Brent, yeah, I see Brent all the time. He fishes our pier all the time.
He's out there a lot.
I guarantee he's out there. Well. Billy, we're going to have what we call the grace segment coming up. How much time do we have in this segment? About 20 seconds. So, and the grace segment is a time, and Mark has been doing it now for the last couple of years, but it's a time to motivate, to inspire. When we come back, I'm going to introduce it, and you've got the grace segment for about, what, 12 minutes? Is that it? Maybe 7 minutes. Okay.
Close to 12.
Okay. So somewhere in between.
Billy, he didn't pay attention in math class.
That ain't true.
Something never changed, buddy.
So when we introduce it, Billy, you've got 7 minutes to share with us anything you want to share with us, because that is the grace segment. And we would love and be honored for you to share that with us at that time.
I've been honored. Thank you.
All right, Billy. We'll be back with Billy Coben right here on FM Talk 106.5 and Fox Sports Central, Alabama.
This segment of the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Camp Grace is located in West Mobile as the summer home of Camp Rappahoe, Camp Mash, Camp Smile, and Camp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Camp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others, the true definition of God's grace. Billy Cole.
Hello.
Yes, sir. It's your time, Billy.
Oh, just go?
Just go.
Go, baby.
Go, buddy.
Before I forget, Mark, could I mention the website before we go?
Yeah, you sure can, and we want to do that. We sure do.
Well, let's do that. I just want everybody to know we're huge into the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. We really love that organization, and that's a big part of what this book, Getting It Out, is all about. It's on Amazon and all the places that you could normally look. I think it'd be easy to pull up, but the easiest way might be to go to the website. It's a little difficult. Here it is, all one word, Grace Extension Ministries. And sometimes, you know, extension is E-X-T-E-N-S-I-O-N. I usually mess that up.
That's all
but
right.
Grace Extension Ministries, and if you go there, you can buy the hard copy or the digital copy. That's going to throw you to Amazon. But the reason the website's kind of interesting is there is an audio book. I had a group of people that wanted us to do an audio book with me kind of reading the book. And if you can take that Southern drawl, that's available. But you can only get that in the website.
Yeah.
So it's graceextensionministries.com. Graceextensionministries.com.
We're going to put that on our website.
You know, Rick, I think a lot about our relationship growing up and how we've grown. We look at our world today, and it's not quite the same. Things are changing. Things are changing in athletics that are concerning. You know, I don't watch as much pro football as I used to, and college football is it's going to get down into high school football, I'm afraid. In fact, it may already have done it. When we look around our world and we think about, you know, where do we go from here, I think we need to keep in mind our great young people. I love the young people of this country, and I believe in them. And if we're going to change this world and bring about the principles of God in all aspects of our culture, I think it starts with those young people. And that's why I love the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. That's why I think you and I both went into coaching, is to set that great example. I think there's something in all of our life that only God can feel, and I think the only thing that can feel that is His Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. that he is the way, the truth, and the life to true freedom. And I know that the world a bit tells us there are certain things that we can't say. But again, what the world cannot dictate to us is the way we do things in our life. And I just think it's a challenge to all of us that we proclaim Christ as our Savior to live it out in our life. I think of some pretty neat stories about Coach Lassiter on the sidelines. You know, the most intense moment of my life as far as speaking is concerned is when you're in a dressing room right before you go out to play a game. That's the only congregation I can think of that every eye is on you, every heart is open, and the things that you say, that you lift up in those moments before you go out to play, those moments stick and they stay because those kids are listening. They believe in us as coaches, and we're responsible the way we act and what happens. I'll tell you a quick story, and this has nothing to do with me. This is about our kids, but we're trying to define who we are as a team, the things we can control. We can't control the scoreboard, but control the things that we can control. And I'll give you an example of that. We would always clean the visitor's dressing room up so that it looked as good or better than it was when we walked in. We could do that. Nobody, it didn't matter how bad we got beat or how great the wind was, we can clean that dressing room up because that's going to say something about us. Your player gets hurt, or our player, our kids are going to go over within 10 yards of that kid, and they're going to pray. These are the kids that decided this. Everybody on our sideline is going to come together in one big huddle, and we're also going to pray for that kid. Well, one night, we were playing somebody on their homecoming. I was a coach at Brewer High School after I retired from being a principal. I didn't know they wanted me to be their coach when they asked to talk with me. They'd lost 38 in a row. I soon found out I was the only one they wanted not to be their coach. So they asked me to come in, and it was fantastic. But we're at Brewer. By the way, we won some games. In the game we won, we tried to tear down the goalpost, but our weight program wasn't strong enough. We did win some games. So we were at somebody's homecoming, which was not unusual. And we got beat in a close game, and I had a knock on the dressing room door. The kids were kind of down, you know. It was a guy from the chain gang, and everybody knows that the chains are on the visitor's sideline. There were some injuries in that game, but he kicked out the way our kids acted on the sideline, and they had already decided that regardless, win or lose, there was a way to act on the sideline and on the field. He saw the prayer that was lifted up for our opponents when somebody got hurt. He kind of checked it all out. And he came to me, and I never met him until that night. He said, "Coach, I just want you to know I gave my life to Christ tonight on the sideline holding the chains. When I saw the way your kids were conducting themselves and what was important in their life." I think that's an example that the world is watching. The world's watching what we do. When we lose our cool, they're watching. When we're getting whipped, they're watching. So the opportunities that we have in every single element of our life is to glorify Jesus Christ. We need to show the world, and it's probably time, I'm going to shut up. I can always tell a Rick Cleveland story. But what we need to show the world, this is what it looks like. This is what a Christian coach looks like. This is what a Christian quarterback looks like, or a Christian point guard. This is what it looks like. The world needs to look and get an example of Christianity, not by what we say, I can talk, but the way we live our life in every moment, and especially in the most difficult moments.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where I think we are, and I believe that Christ can use the world can change the world in one person's life. And if each of us will try to exemplify that principle, then we can bring Christ to the world and Christ into the hearts of the next generation. So,
Billy, I know that I speak for myself and Mark. It has been an extreme privilege and honor for you to be on Prep Sports Report. And I'm going to tell you right now, son, I love you.
I love you, Rick. It's been my pleasure and my honor for sure. You made a difference in my life.
I love you, pal. Take care. God bless.
Thanks, Coach.
We love you. Thanks, Mark.
All right, buddy. Folks, thank you for being a part of our show this morning. I hope you were blessed as much as Mark and I were with Billy Coleman. You can find his book, Called to Live. You want to read it, I can promise you. Remember this, no matter what you do, no matter where you go, he is always with you. God bless you. See you here, same place, same time, next week.